shine a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of His eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. India to deport 20 million Bangladeshis. India plans to begin deporting more than 20 million illegal Bangladeshi immigrants because they pose a security threat. The Interior Ministry said the drive also will target 11,500 illegal Pakistanis. The deportation drive is expected to begin between April and June. The Interior Ministry statement said that the statement didn't elaborate on the security threat. India is building a barbed wire fence along its border with Bangladesh to stop smuggling and illegal settlement. Well, it's amazing to me how India seemingly can get away with deporting 20 million people. But when it comes to Israel contemplating the idea of deporting the Palestinians back to the original places of their origin, be it Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, then the whole world is in uproar. But when it comes to countries like India, it's no big deal, is it? You know, all through history, those people who seemingly have resulted in the migration into countries not their own, usually after wars and after situations of this magnitude, which is reported in India, that historically countries have been known to deport these kinds of situations, these kinds of people, out of their country and back to the country that these illegal immigrants, as they're called, are from. Now, some say, well, that's really harsh. I mean, that is just harsh. How can they do that? How can they even get away with it? Because God has always ordained in the Bible that the nations are to keep separate. And when we start mixing the nations, then what we're doing is we're creating another Tower of Babel. And we know that God's word is very clear that he does not want that to happen. Now, many who might be listening to the sound of my voice there among the so-called Palestinians are saying, well, we got no place to go. Well, I can assure you there's a lot of places that you can go. In fact, most of the land mass of Saudi Arabia is not even being occupied. And you could have more land there, and you could surely start your country there. In fact, most of the Palestinians are rooted in these countries. The bottom line is the world is always focusing on Israel, and anything that Israel seemingly does that's out of the so-called universal norms is automatically condemned by the nations of the world. But I don't hear an outcry against India. I don't hear any outcry. This article was reported in USA Today, a little article about it in their World News Report. But outside of that, there's no big deal. The world's not condemning it, as far as I can tell. And they're not shutting them down. We're not going in there to fight against India. No. But any thought of the Israelis contemplating such a act would be unheard of. But some of the critics out there will say, well, Dr. Fried, you don't understand. Israel is a civilized democracy, and they know better. And, so what you're telling me now is India is not civilized. Well, I guess you better take that up with them. Another thought along these lines is the fact that most of the countries today in the world have come about through the conquering of other peoples. Just look at the United States of America. If anybody knows their history very well, they know that this continent, primarily this part of the continent known today as America, was occupied by the Indians. And we came in there and from other countries, other lands, and for the most part, we just kind of ran over this land and took it over and claimed it for ourselves. But you hardly ever hear anybody say that, talk about that. Yes, and that can be said even for Russia and many other countries around the world. Ultimately, they have been conquered by other nations. So here, Israel, rightfully and through military might given by God Almighty, they win the Six-Day War. They win the 73 War of Yom Kippur. And they take over land that was once theirs anyway and rightfully belongs to them today regardless, and the whole world is in uproar and expect Israel to return the conquered land. By the way, this land was conquered, taken over, as a result of the aggression of the Arab nations, not the other way around. Israel was not the aggressor, and therefore, by all means, historically, biblically, Israel had a right to that land and has a right to it today simply on the basis of military conquest. If the Arabs who happen to live in these territories are caught in between, as long as they live peaceably with Israel, Israel will not have a problem with them and hasn't had a problem with most of them. Many of them are considered Israeli Arabs. But if they're unwilling to live peaceably and unwilling to abide by the Constitution of the State of Israel, then they should, by all rights, go back to the origins of where they came from. If the so-called Palestinians would look at their economy today, if they would look at their society today, it's in shambles. And the reason why it's in shambles is because of all of the rebellion against the peace. Even under the so-called occupation of the military of Israel, they had far better lifestyle, far better economy than they have today. And of course, you can owe all that digression to their famous leader, Arafat. In fact, even today in the United States of America, we are in the business of deporting people ourselves. We do it every day and every year by the thousands because they are here illegally. And therefore, why are we hypocritical? Why are we exhibiting a double standard? Now, let's take a look at Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda bioweapons study went further than thought. Documents and equipment found in Afghanistan show that Al-Qaeda's research into biological weapons was more advanced than previously estimated. An unclassified CIA report says it provides few details, but says that terrorists are becoming more interested in the potential of using biological warfare as a relatively inexpensive way to inflict serious damage. U.S. officials have said that traces of anthrax was found in labs in Afghanistan. Well, now let's consider another file I have here regarding the Peace Prize that former President Jimmy Carter had received. And to many, it is a joke. A smug little group of Norwegian Palestinians continues to show disturbingly bad judgment in choosing the Nobel Peace Prize recipients. As a patriot and a man of honor, Jimmy Carter should refuse the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, it's too late. He's already received it. Such an act of integrity would win him more respect and admiration from his countrymen than anything he has done since he left the White House in 1981. The Nobel Peace Prize Committee has sometimes shown disturbingly bad judgment, above all in 1994, when it bestowed the prize on an unrepentant Yasser Arafat. But never before has it awarded the Peace Prize with the explicit purpose of going against or chastening the United States government. That new low was achieved last week when Nobel Committee Chairman Gunnar Burge emphasized that the award was meant as a denunciation of American policy toward Iraq. And of course, that is last week back in December 2002. It should be interpreted as a criticism of the line that the current administration has taken, Burge said. It's a kick in the leg to all that follow the same line as the United States. Unquote, unquote. Gunnar Stahlset, another committee member, confirmed that the award was intended as a condemnation of U.S. policy. But surely that was obvious to anyone who read the citation. Quote, in a situation currently marked by threats to the use of power, it said, Carter has stood by the principle that conflicts must, as far as possible, be resolved through mediation and international cooperation, remarked the Nobel Committee secretary. Also said there can't be much doubt about the intention of that. No, there can't. A smug little group of Norwegian politicians choose Carter for the Nobel Peace Prize in order to take a slap at a superpower willing to go to war if necessary to get out a vicious tyrant. Carter should be livid at this attempt to use him to discredit his country and embarrass President Bush, to show that he cares more for the honor of the United States than for personal glory. He ought to turn the prize down. And of course, at this point, since it's been some time since he received the Nobel Peace Prize, he ought to turn it down and return it to them and say it was a bad decision for him to accept it. But the probability is he won't. There are many things of which Carter disapproves, but slaps at the United States and digs at other presidents are not among them. On the contrary, they are something of a Carter specialty. Consider, for example, his first meeting with Arafat in 1990, an event described by historian Douglas Brinkley in his admiring biography of Carter, The Unfinished Presidency. Quote, "There was no world leader Jimmy Carter was more eager to know," Brinkley wrote. "Carter felt certain affinities with the Palestinian and seemed to want barely for that affinity to be reciprocated. When Arafat complained about the betrayals of the Reagan administration, Rosalind Carter, who was taking notes on the meeting, exclaimed, 'You don't have to convince us.' This," Brinkley reported, "elicited gales of laughter all around. Carter sympathetically agreed that the Reagan administration was not renowned as promise keepers. It is safe to say that Ronald Reagan would never have attempted to curry favor with an odious terrorist by mocking and deriding his successor, or for that matter, his predecessor. Bad enough that Carter would run down another president in a private conversation with the head of the PLO. Worse was his behavior when he went to Cuba and openly implied that the U.S. government was lying. A few days before Carter's trip, Under Secretary of State John Bolton had warned of Cuban involvement in developing biological weapons. The United States believes that Cuba has at least a limited offensive biological warfare research and development effort, he said, and has provided dual-use biotechnology to other terrorist-like states. But during a visit to a Cuban biotech facility, Carter claimed that U.S. briefers had repeatedly assured him that there was no evidence of Cuba's doing any such thing. Secretary of State Colin Powell reiterated Bolton's warning and said that Carter was mistaken, but the damage had been done. To lend support to Castro's dictatorship, Carter had purposely undermined U.S. policy and labeled the administration dishonest. Yet even that isn't the worst instance of Carter's willingness to undercut his successors. During the run-up to the Gulf War in 1990, in what even Brinkley calls the low moment of his post-presidency, Carter actively tried to sabotage President George H.W. Bush's effort to win U.N. Security Council approval for armed action to liberate Kuwait. Without notifying Bush, Carter wrote to the heads of state of each member of the Security Council, urging them to vote against the U.S.-drafted resolution. In his letter, Brinkley discovered, quote, Carter urged these influential world leaders to abandon U.S. leadership and instead give unequivocal support to an Arab League effort to link the Iraqi conquest of Kuwait with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. lobbying foreign governments to subvert the diplomatic efforts of a sitting president is something ex-presidents simply do not do. But Carter not only did it, he later even boasted of it. Lately, the former president has been harshly denouncing the current president's policy toward Iraq. "America is in no danger from Baghdad," he declares, "and war talk from the administration's belligerent and divisive voices must be resisted." Naturally, he has no intention of muffling his own belligerent and divisive voice. But then, why would he? It has just won him a Nobel Prize, which he fully intends to keep. Do you hear what I am saying? This is an incredible letter that was sent to me, and amazing about this situation that former President Jimmy Carter, of all people, I guess, ought to know better. He claims to be a Christian, a Baptist, and doesn't he know what the Bible knows what the Bible says about the end times? Surely he must know Israel's place in the plan of God. Or he ought to know what the Bible talks about not making peace with the wicked, and that there will be no peace, but sudden destruction is going to come upon these nations. Why would he waste his time? If anything, he should be on the side of Israel. And he should be on the side of the United States government because of his influence. All it does is give our enemies more ammunition to throw against us. Now here's a twist. U.S. justifies targeted killing. Bush administration officials described the missile strike on a car carrying six Al-Qaeda operatives in Yemen as a battlefield operation in the war of terrorism, even though it occurred far from Afghanistan and in a country where no conventional military conflict is underway. Other observers called it a targeted assassination or even an extrajudicial killing, terms usually reserved for violations of human rights or international law. Such condemnation is not justified. The Yemen operation did not target political or criminal figures, but trained combatants of an organization that has declared war against the United States, that itself has defined the battlefield as global, and that recently has landed its own military blows in Yemen. So what exactly is the difference in what the U.S. did in Yemen and what Israel does against trained combatants of an organization that has declared war against Israel? The Bush administration has been dancing around this topic ever since that event occurred. The United States has said it still opposes Israel's policy of targeted assassinations, despite its apparent use of the same tactic to kill six Al-Qaeda suspects in Yemen. "Our policy on targeted killings in the Israeli-Palestinian context has not changed," so said U.S. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher. Boucher refused to talk about the Yemen attack, but said that Washington's reasons for opposing the targeted killings of Palestinians might not apply in other circumstances. A complex, convoluted press statement can be found at the state government website. News items reported in TASMAC and USA Today. Now, folks, if you've enjoyed this first half of the broadcast, the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, we got some more good broadcasting coming your way. So please, stay put. Don't go away. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, there is no God like thee.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you've stayed with us for the last half of this broadcast of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. And we have a special treat, a guest preacher, brother Randy Diggin, and he has a great message on how he feels about the nation of Israel. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. So stay tight and be attentive, and you'll receive a tremendous blessing as the Word of God is preached with power.
12 through 22. Title of the message today is I Love Israel Whether You Like It or Not. The media will not like this message. The United Nations would not like this message. And many senators and even representatives would not like this message. But I want to preach on that subject. I think it's important that we see what's going on with Israel in this world today. Look at Psalm 33, verse 12 with me. Very familiar verse. We'll read down through verse 22. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. Mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our shield, he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." And let's pray. Father, help us this morning as I preached about your as I preach about your chosen nation. I pray everybody be still now, and for these next 30 minutes we'd be challenged and changed and realize how important Israel is in the Bible. Pray that your Holy Spirit have liberty now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want you to listen very carefully this morning as I talk to you just a little while about the subject of I Love Israel, whether you like it or not. Psalm 33, verse 12 has been a very famous verse to quote. Preachers have quoted that verse through the years in application to the United States of America. It's a powerful verse. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And that's the part we oftentimes focus on. We dwell upon that phrase and use that and apply it spiritually to America. But we forget about the latter part of the verse. It's still a part of the verse. The Bible says, "And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Now, whether people like it or not, God chose Israel as his nation in the Old Testament. We could look at verse after verse after verse after verse to prove that. Now, he chose Israel to be a nation for his own inheritance. And God has given nations a chance since that point to choose him. Oftentimes the question is asked, how come Baptists seem more right than most other denominations? Why did God choose the Baptists? It's not so much that God chose the Baptists. God chooses anybody that seeks for truth. But it's when you choose God that you appear to be right. And Israel for many years chose God after God chose them. I believe America also was a nation that was founded upon scriptural principles, and America was a nation that chose God. America was founded by people who chose God and not religion. They left their land and crossed oceans to see if they could find a place to have religious freedom. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34, the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." There are nations that have rejected God altogether throughout the history of mankind. They've never even had a chance at being blessed. But there's three main nations in the history of the mankind that have tried to choose to please God at times. They may not be right now, but at some time or another they did. Israel, of course, is one of them. Great Britain is another one. And then, of course, the United States of America. Great Britain at one time loved God and chose to live for God. D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon pastored and preached great revivals over there. Great Britain chose God for a while and turned their back on God. Now they're hard toward the gospel. America then was founded, and America chose God and got hard to the gospel now because they got tired of hearing about it. By the way, these nations, these three nations right now, I have a book in my office that tells you about how much each nation, every single nation in this world, what their religious affiliation is, how much they make on a yearly income as far as the average home and how much they make. And these three nations right here, Israel, Great Britain, and the United States of America, are numbers 1, 2, and 3 in the wealthiest and most blessed lands in that book. Now, I want you to understand something very carefully here. I want to show you some things that are statistics. I got these statistics. They are a little older. They're 1993, but that's the most recent book I found. But Afghanistan, the country that we are now at war with, makes every year 1.1% of the United States of America's average citizen's yearly income. Did you hear that? 1.1%. Algeria makes 10% of the United States American's yearly income, the average. In Egypt, they make about 2.9% a year of the United States citizens' average income. Iran makes 8.5%. Jordan makes 6.2%. Lebanon makes 4%. Pakistan makes 1.7%. These are just a few of the countries that for years have had one thing in common. They've hated Israel. Not only have they hated Israel, but they've hated the United States of America. You say, but some of those countries are helping us right now. That's right, because they know we'd go on to whip them if they didn't. But they're afraid of us. That's about the only thing right now that's causing some of them to... Now, what caused that? Why are these nations so poor? Why is the average life expectancy so low? The average Afghan will live to be 47 years old. America, we're up in the 70s. Why are we such a blessed land? Did you know that several hundred square miles of American soil can feed the whole world? America's a blessed land. Israel's been a blessed land. Great Britain was a great blessed land. Why? Because we chose God. Now, there are a few Muslim nations that do decently financially, and the only reason they do that is because of oil. We buy their oil. We stop buying their oil, or some of these other nations stop buying their oil, we'll be in trouble. But think about this. The reason they do well financially is because America buys their oil, and even still, their yearly income is less than that of the United States of America, Israel, and Great Britain. Why? Because the Bible called it thousands of years ago. Look at Genesis chapter 12 with me. Genesis chapter 12. Now, while you're turning there, I bring this message with a heavy heart. I've prepared this message probably for 2 months, starting to get in ideas. I've done some research and study, and in 30 minutes I'm going to deliver you my heart on what I think, on why I'm saying today publicly, without any shame at all, I don't care what this world thinks, I love Israel. I love Israel. Why? Because God told me to. Second reason, because I got a little bit of common sense. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Did he not, or did he? He sure did. He made Israel a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Watch this. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. A lot of the countries of this world that have rejected God, if you go to their countries right now, all you'll find is desert. All you'll find is dry land. They beg and plead for water. We don't have that problem in America, do we? I wonder why. Because that verse says, you bless Israel, God blesses you. You hate Israel, I'll take care of you. Now, in 1948, Israel became a nation again. Harry Truman wrote a letter to J. Frank Norris, the great preacher, the pastor of two churches at the same time, one a membership of 5,000 in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, and another one with a membership of 5,000 in Michigan. He traveled back and forth every few months and pastored both churches. J. Frank Norris wrote a letter back to Harry Truman. I have a copy of the letter in the book in my office. He says, "Here, Mr. President Truman, support Israel. Support Israel." He told him that, and America since then has been a strong supporter of Israel. This country was founded by Christians, and Christian folk have supported Israel for the most part. Now, I'm alarmed, though, because a few weeks ago, I heard an interview on live radio of two Jews interviewing, talking to each other about what's going on in this world. The Jewish nation knows it's not because America's a great nation that we were attacked September 11th. It's because we have good ties to Israel. Let me tell you something. George W. Bush ran on the campaign last year. One of the things he said when he became president, the first day he would move the embassy from Tel Aviv, Israel, to Jerusalem in Israel. He said that he would do that. We're 11 months in the year yet, and he's not done that. Now, what's the significance of that, preacher? If he did that, we would be telling the world that the United States of America recognizes Jerusalem as the official capital of Israel, and rather than Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv right now is the secular capital of Israel. And if we were to say to the world that we as Americans are recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which, by the way, happens to be the third holiest city in the Muslim religion, what's the first two? Mecca, Medina, and then Jerusalem. And if we tell the world that we believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, we in big trouble with the Muslim religion. And I think the fact that he said that brought on those attacks in the year underneath President Bush's administration. But the part that bothers me is our president has not been true to his word. I want him to stand up and say, we will move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem belongs to Israel, not to the Palestinians. People don't like to hear that. I don't give a flip. By the way, one week ago this weekend, President Bush spoke to the United Nations and became the first U.S. diplomat or U.S. representative to talk about a Palestinian state. I wonder why the plane went down Monday. Chew on that just a little while. You say, how come Israel, Jews, and Muslims have hated each other? Well, it started with Sarah and Hagar. And they were good mothers. They trained their boys right, and Isaac and Ishmael. Sarah and Hagar had to fight. Sarah got jealous of Hagar. Hagar got jealous of Sarah. Abraham had to kick Hagar out. which, by the way, the second son sometimes makes more, is more important than the first son. Isaac came after Ishmael, just like Jesus came after Adam, amen? Luke chapter 3 calls Adam the son of God. Isaac's the second son after Ishmael, thank God. God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't ever see Ishmael's name in there, do you? I want you to understand something. Here's the thing I want you to get right here. This country was not founded by Muslims escaping and searching for freedom of religion.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
This used to be a Christian nation. I don't oppose people that want to come here and have worship their own and have their own religion. This is a free country. I'm not saying we should take that away from them. But I think I'm tired of hearing them whine. Just this past week in New York now, in the New York City school system, they're allowing the kids to have a prayer room. They can get up and walk out, the Muslims can, during their holy month of Ramadan and pray whenever they want to. They can go those three times a day, three of the five times that they're supposed to pray a day, and bow down toward Mecca and pray in the public school system in New York City. How come Christians don't have that right? How come even Catholics don't have that right? What's wrong with this country? I tell you what's wrong with this country. This country don't got no backbone anymore. They're afraid now of this Muslim religion. And let me tell you right now, I am not afraid of that religion. I don't care about all them towel heads over there. They can say what they want. They've rejected my Savior. They've rejected my country, the country of America. They've attacked my country. And they hate Israel, who produced my Savior. And so I stand up today and say publicly, unapologetically, with my leg on this pulpit, with my other foot behind the pulpit for extra emphasis, I love Israel today. Look at Psalm chapter 122 with me. Psalm chapter 122. I'm going to show you some maps and pictures in just a while. The media won't show you. Psalm chapter 122. By the way, there's those that say all Muslims are a religion of peace. Phooey on that garbage. I read an article by a Sudanese bishop right now. He says in his country they get their throats cut for being Christians. Isn't it interesting? The media didn't say hardly anything about those Christian ladies that were captured over there by the Taliban. But as soon as they were released and found out they were actually treated good, it made all the news.
Yeah.
You know why? They're trying to get Americans to believe Muslims are really good people.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this real quickly just to clarify something. If they want to get saved, praise God. They can come sit in these pews and get saved the way we get saved. Trust in Jesus Christ. But as a whole, they hate Christians.
Yeah.
And if they outnumbered us in America, you'd be afraid to go to bed at night tonight. You go on a street corner right now in any one of these countries I named, Afghanistan, Algeria, Egypt, Iran, Jordan, Lebanon, Pakistan, go over to those countries and stand on a street corner and preach about Jesus Christ and see what happens to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
Guess what? I leave them alone when they preach. They're garbage in our prison now and in our jail systems and on the street corners. They get up and they're preaching their hatred now. They've even said, I've had the articles that Muslim leaders saying now publicly even since the attack that we got to continue our hatred for the Jews, hatred for Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
They get away with that. But I'll be labeled a hate monger because of what I'm saying today.
That's right.
Phew on that garbage, man. I ain't afraid of that crowd. Look at Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. Jerusalem and Israel in the same passage. To give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let me ask you a quick question. What? Think about this. How come Jews have been hated all these years? By the way, not just by Muslims. The Nazis hated the Jews. The KKK hates the Jews. The Catholic Church is not fond of the Jews. And when I heard those two people interviewing and talking about Jews and religion, the statement they made that startled me or that broke my heart was, the Christians don't favor the Jews like they used to. Well, I want it to be known that this church that calls itself a Christian church loves the Jewish people. They need to get saved the same way we do right now. They need to come to Jesus Christ, a Jew, by the way, that they rejected. But I right now am saying that I still love Israel. Why have they hated the Jews? Why have they hated the Jews? Because they're God's people. They're God's people. Look at me in Romans chapter 11, verse number 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 11. That's why you need to call 202-456-1111. What's that, preacher? The phone number for the White House. I've called it about 5 times since the tragedies happened and begged them to support Israel. In fact, usually they just take my message and stop. The other day, a guy stopped me and says, look, I'm not really supposed to do this, but let me ask you some questions. How come you believe this? He got an education for the next few minutes.
Amen.
Shook them up. It's time they get shooken up. They don't want to believe this stuff. They don't want to believe this. They want to believe all those pictures about them poor little Palestinians over there getting abused by these mean Israelites. Fooey on that garbage, man. It's a bunch of lies. I'm going to show you some pictures to shake you up right now. Romans 11:11. I say then, you better love Israel because of this. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall. I'm glad they've fallen away from God. Watch what happened. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Woo! We wouldn't be saved if it weren't for their fall. Thank God salvation's come to us now to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Now let me tell you something. Jews aren't too fond of us. They don't like the fact that we claim the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they do. They don't like that. The Orthodox Jews, the strict sect of Jews, they're proud of their God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're looking for that Messiah to come. They're still proud of that. And they don't like that we claim the same God, because the same God is the one that sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And they don't like that. But that doesn't change my relationship or my feelings toward them. I still love them. But let me tell you something that's alarming. Why do they hate them? Because they've been chosen God's people. Now look at John 15 with me real quickly. John chapter 15. Then I'm going to show you some pictures and we're going to get ready to shout in just a little while. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So if the world hates you, guess what? That's a compliment from Jesus. Amen. They hate the Jews too, and they hate Christians. Yeah. That's one reason I like the Jews. Now let me show you something that's going to shake you up. Watch this. I'm just going to show you this, because they don't talk about this in the media. First of all, pray don't trip over these stinking cords. All right, here's Israel during the kingdom years. Can you see that? We tested it yesterday. Make sure you don't need the lights out. I don't think we need the lights out. Can you see that? Here's Israel during the kingdom years. Here, all up to here. That's Israel. Kingdom years. That's the land God gave them. Yes, they were divided. Judah and Israel. You can see that there on the map. Here's Israel in modern times, right now. See that? This right here says area occupied by Israel since June 1967. That's the Golan Heights, the West Bank here, Gaza Strip. All these are these were lands that were owned or possessed by Muslims. But the Jews whipped them in that Six Day War in 1967. That's what they've been fighting over all these years now. But then we just show you the first map. Whose land does this belong to? By the way, Israel's about this big is the end of my pinky compared to all the land in the Middle East. How come they want that land so bad? But preacher, what about the Palestinians? I'll tell you who the Palestinians are. They're Jordanians. They're Jordan rejects. In fact, Yasser Arafat is an Egyptian. He's an Egyptian. He's not even a Jordan or a Palestinian, whatever. He's an Egyptian. By the way, married to a Roman Catholic. Go figure that out. So Yasser Arafat is from Egypt. All these countries came against Israel in the Six-Day War, and Israel cleaned house. They whipped some tail, amen. In 6 days, you read the documentation, read the history about it. I mean, they said fish were coming out of the skies, knocking the planes down. Fish were coming down on bunkers. They shook it up. 300 Egyptian planes were lost in a couple hours because they were trying to mess with Israel. You know why? Because it's time to start showing the world it's getting close. It's time for Israel to start rising up again, make the whole world hate them. In just a little while, we're going to explain that. Now, so they're fighting over that land. Why don't they just go over to Jordan where they came from?
Yeah.
It's all part of a political ploy. Satan's behind it all. Keep fighting over this land to make everybody mad. All the Arabs are glad the Palestinians are there. Keep being a thorn in that Israel's flesh. Make the world think Israel's bad. And one of these days, if we're not destroyed, America, and by the way, I'm getting scared. That's why I'm preaching this message. America is now starting to turn its back on Israel and say, yeah, we need a Palestinian state. Colon pal. Well, somebody said it right. Well, Bush needs a colonectomy or whatever, amen. He needs to have a colon removed, praise God. But anyway, you see, he's even talking about a Palestinian state. And so here's the fight. It's all over this land. So everybody says Israel's the bad guys. Watch this. There's some Palestinian boys right now being trained. They start training at 3 years old to kill Jews and Americans.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the peaceful Muslim religion, amen. Here's some of the stuff that happens in Israel. We're all been out of shape because of the tragedy on September 11th and what happened, and we should be. I'm heartbroken for that. But this happens in Israel every day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You say they brought that on themselves. You're probably right, but doesn't change my love for Israel. This one really shakes me up. How come they didn't like Bill Clinton? How many of y'all like Bill Clinton as a president? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to laugh at you. Bill Clinton. You know why the Palestinians even hated Clinton? Because even Clinton had the sense to say, I better leave Israel alone.
Well, that's all the time that we have. And I've sure enjoyed it. My question to you today is, do you love Israel? Well, you ought to. If you believe the Bible, you ought to love Israel. Well, next time, we'll continue the rest of this message by preacher Randy Diggin on why he loves Israel. And we invite you to come back next time. But don't turn your dial just yet. We have some announcements coming your way and some free offers. And whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, we want you to know that God loves you, and He wants you to be right with Him.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life, according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years, and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel, Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.